Beautiful heritage.
Yes, it is.
When we celebrate the long way from which the Lord has brought us. Amen. I think about it, and sometimes it does just put some stomping in your feet, like my brother said. Just think about where God brought you from. And keep in mind where he's taking you to. Amen. 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 Some of the folks say he bought it from a mighty long way. Amen. Some of them say he bought me all the way. Yes, I'm still on the path. Amen. By his grace. Amen. Having said that, we're going to go right ahead. We are in a special session here, and still yet in the book of Romans. And just so you know, for the holidays, we're planning a special series of teaching. And we will depart from the book of Romans briefly during that time period, just for special things that need to be addressed during the holiday season. And then we will resume in the book of Romans in chapter 13, coming up in toward the beginning of the new year, if the Lord should tarry. Now, we don't know, as I say, you know, the next event on God's calendar is the return of Jesus Christ. Yes. And no one knows the day or the hour. So that could be at any time without any further notice. See, and you start looking at how stuff is shaping up in the world, and you realize that it's as Paul said, now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. See, because every second that the clock ticks brings us closer to the consummation of the ages. And we don't know when that'll be. That's God's next event on his calendar. The reason we don't get it is because his calendar is an eternal calendar, which really doesn't have seconds and minutes and days and hours and years and months and all that. Yes. It's now, all the time, in God's presence.
Amen.
And so it's always eternity, and there's no need for day or night.
Yes.
Or any of those things. That's why you see in Revelation those things cease to exist.
Yes.
When we move into the eternal state.
Right.
Amen. So, and that's not something to scare us.
Right.
We should be like John. He was reporting on all that, and he said, even so, come Lord Jesus.
That's right.
See, because he understands the completeness of the gospel of Christ, that God has given his son, and even so, he can come right now. Even though it doesn't seem like I'm at a point of resolution in my life, or that everything is all what it needs to be.
Yes.
But he has accomplished these great things for us on our behalf. Amen.
Amen.
So we don't have to be worried or fearful.
Yes.
I like that one song, He is Good. It said we never have to worry, we never have to fret. Why? Because he is good.
Yes, he is.
All the time. Amen. But for now, we're going to go ahead and dig in. And of course, our midweek study will also be pertaining to Romans in general. We've been kind of working through. But y'all know we take little liberties during the midweek service to discuss any other topics that you may need information about. Amen. So we're going to move right on as we continue here today in this epistle to the Romans. And I have been enjoying it. I hope you have as well. Amen. And we switched translations on last week in chapter 12. We're going to continue this week also in the New American Standard translation. So without any further ado, let us go ahead and have a reading of the scripture. We're going to read from the Old Covenant, Deuteronomy chapter number 8. And we're reading down to 18. I noticed the heading doesn't have the 18, but you can see the verses there. And if you have a handout like this, if you don't, let someone know and we'll try to get one over to you. Amen. And otherwise, we're looking in Deuteronomy chapter number 8, which is the book of the law, the last book of Moses, if you will. And then finally, also in the New Testament, Romans chapter number 12, also from the New American Standard translation, verses 9 to 21. Now, we've been overlapping that first part, so now we're moving on a little further here. We're probably shifting into about fourth gear now as we come into this latter part of Romans chapter number 12. So we're going to hear the reading of the word, first of all, and then we will proceed. Brother Raymond.
When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied, and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the houses of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness, with its fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day.
Amen. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading of his blessed and inerrant word.
Yes.
Amen. Now for the New Testament scripture reading.
Let love be without hypocrisy.
Yes.
Harbor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love.
Yes.
Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in the spirit. Serving the Lord. Mm-hmm. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Mm-hmm. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Mm-hmm. Practicing hospitality. Mm-hmm. Bless those who persecute you.
My Lord.
Bless and do not curse.
My Lord.
Rejoice with those who rejoice.
Yes.
And weep with those who weep.
Yes.
Be of the same mind toward one another.
That's right.
And do not be haughty in mind, mm-hmm. but associate with the lowly.
Yes.
Do not be wise in your own estimation. Mm. Never pay evil back for evil, or never pay evil for evil to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men, and do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. May God add a blessing to the hearing of his blessed and holy word.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We're going to speak just a little bit here today on the subject of exercising the fruit of true love.
Glory.
Let us pray. Everlasting God, we praise you, we bless you, we just thank you, Father, for all that you do, Lord. And
yes.
We thank you that you have called us to understand some of the things that you do, Lord.
Yes. Thank you.
And that you have given us knowledge of the gospel of your Son.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, Lord, you have given us salvation and the hope of glory.
Yes.
You said, oh God, that when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And by that, we are born again from above. And so, Father, we thank you for the new birth that you have given us, Lord. And we thank you that you have taken us as little children into your lap, oh God, and fed us with your word and with truth. And God, that we are beginning to grow up. We're getting a little bit more mature. But, Lord, we also thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us by your spirit to be able to exercise the fruit of true love in our lives, God. And so we ask today for more understanding how this applies to us, oh God, how we can apply it to ourselves, to our families, and also, oh God, to the world as we go forward, and especially in the church among the household of faith.
Yes, Lord.
We give you praise today, Lord, and we ask for the wisdom to execute everything that your word has said.
Yes.
And we know that only you can do that, Lord. You can give us that wisdom that we might be able to do it, oh God.
Yes.
So therefore, we ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
It's in his holy name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, this may seem to be somewhat paradoxical when you look at the subject that we have chosen here, because we're talking about exercising, and then it says the fruit.
Uh-huh.
Now, how do you exercise fruit, you might be thinking? That sounds like a strange kind of a thing. But when we think of fruit, two things come to mind from a biblical standpoint.
Uh-huh.
One of them is actions, those things we do.
Okay.
would be the fruit. That's why it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness. And some of them are attitudes, the way we think and the way we perceive things. How do you perceive things? And internal fruit would be the attitudes that we have. In other words, the way we think about things can be adjusted, it can be improved, it can be like Jesus thought about things.
Yes.
And the object of discipleship is to be like Christ.
Like Christ.
You and I are aiming our lives now, since he has saved us, toward being like him.
Yes.
And so he is the model or the example. And when you think about this, this one blew my mind in my meditation, to think about the fact that the Bible says God is love.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He has always been love, is what that means, because he is eternal and he does not change. And so, what did love do? Love decided that at some point in the history of humanity, that I will become like them.
Yes.
When we think about what he said in the narrative in Genesis, when he had made everything in the world, he said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." So he started off putting us in his image and his likeness, which was not a physical thing.
Yes.
Because he said that before it says that he took dust and formed it into a body, and then he breathed into his nostrils. See, that body was not like his image or anything. Right. That was something he took to put his image in.
Right.
Then it says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul.
Yes.
See, so being a living soul with spirit and a soul, basically, and a body, he put that all into the body that he made, and that was called man. See, and he had already purposed to make man in his own image.
That's right.
And his own likeness. You see that?
Yes.
So that was a supernatural thing. And then the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 verse 14, it says there, and the word became flesh. See, now God also took on the bodily form of man. And it was after all those generations from Adam clear on up to the birth of his son, which was also a decision that was made in eternity. God the Father and God the Son had prepared to do this even before man fell into sin.
Amen.
So at that point, he took on our image, if you will. He became like us in everything, including being born. The only one that was created who we have record of in the scripture is Adam. Adam is a created son of God. All of us are descendants from him. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the only begotten son of God. So in that sense, we have something in common. He was born into the world of a virgin. The difference is the manner of his incarnation was that God the Spirit overshadowed a virgin, and she was with child by the Holy Ghost. Now that was the difference. It was not just another man on earth like our fathers were, who begot us and we were born of a woman, but this was God the Holy Spirit. And Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 4 verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, born under the law, and he came to deliver us from the curse of the law. Amen. So the Bible tells us in Galatians 3:13 that not only that, but Jesus became a curse when he was on the cross. God allowed the curse of the law to be on him, and he did that for every one of us.
Amen.
So he became a curse for us in order that he might give us the righteousness of God. It says in summary in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. See that?
Yes.
You become new. He says all things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So that's that whole idea that Jesus discussed with Nicodemus in John chapter 3 when he said, except a man be born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why? Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again. See, so we have to have that new birth from above. And what happens is God, the Holy Spirit, inhabits all those who trust in Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead. The Bible says you shall be saved. Now, this is not a salvation that we produce ourselves. Sometimes Christians get involved in good works, trying to do everything. And it's not that there's anything wrong with good works. But you will never be saved by good works. You can only be saved by God's grace through faith in his son alone. So this is a divine act that God does to everyone who puts their trust in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
There are a lot of reasons. We won't be able to talk about all of them this morning. Why does he do it that way? It says in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. He wants you to make sure you know it's not of yourselves.
Right.
It is the gift of God, not of works.
Right.
You see that? Lest any man should boast. So one reason is that God doesn't want us going around, well, you know, I'm saved because I did this, that, and the other, and
right.
I'm walking this way or that way or the other way, or I do this, that, or the other. No glory for me at all. He wants it so that you say, God is the one who saved me. He is the one that gets the praise. He's the one that gets the glory. That way I have nothing to boast about. Now if I do, the Bible says, if any man boasts, what? Let him boast in the Lord.
It's
what Jeremiah tells us, you see? And so our boast is in him. We're boasting in the fact that he loved us. He prepared a way for us to be saved at the right moment in time. He didn't force it on us. He allowed you to be in whatever circumstance you were in at the time that you were saved. Some of us were fortunate enough to have been brought up in a godly home where our parents were in the Word, and they were in the church, and they taught us from a child. But we may not have caught on necessarily to exactly what God was doing until sometime later. And normally, the parents who are godly, they wait until the moment when that child really understands what the gospel is, that good news that God saved you by his grace,
yes,
through faith in his Son alone. And when they understand that and embrace it for themselves, that's the moment when we say that this child is really truly saved, when they come to an awareness of the fact that I need Jesus Christ.
That's
and
right.
It's only by his grace that I can be saved.
Amen.
And that happens to us at different times, you see. But the thing I want you to see how it pertains to this lesson is that God did all these things. His motivation can be summed up in one word, and that word is love.
Love.
True love.
All right.
See, and I have to say true love because there's so many things we slap the label love on that we call love so many things, and many of them are twisted.
That's right.
Somebody will say love is has to do with an emotion, or it has to do with particular things. You know, some people say a lot of things. Well, I'm not going to even try to disclose all of what people say, but we're talking about true love.
True love.
That is God, the very essence of God. God
yes.
himself, the Bible says, is love.
Amen.
And we love him because he first loved us. You see that?
That's right.
And so you and I are operating in love. And so therefore there is a fruit or a product that comes out of operating in true love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to talk about here just for a few minutes this morning, because I think this will prep us for the coming season. There are different types of things coming up in this holiday season that you and I need to be prepared for. We see a lot of stuff going on, how the world has changed as it has separated itself from basic teaching about God. And some of you are so young, you don't even know when it happened. It was already in progress when you were born.
Right.
That man has started to set God aside and put him on the back burner and move
yes.
him completely out of the public square. To the point that you may even have some ideas yourself, some of you who are younger, who are hearing to the sound of my voice, that have been tainted to some degree by
yes.
the culture.
That's right.
And so I want to take you back here to learn what true love is and understand that God loves you. His acceptance of you is complete. He demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners,
yes.
Paul says in Romans 5, Christ died for the ungodly.
Yes, he did.
Not for the righteous, not for the pure. He died for the ungodly.
Ungodly.
People like me who don't do everything right, who is not perfectly clean in every aspect of my life.
Amen.
See, he died in order to give me the assurance that he loved me this much, that he would give his own son for me. And that's the way you need to feel if you are saved. You need to understand he's not doing it because of what you did or did not do. He's doing it because his very essence is love. He loves you at the core of his being, just from his natural inclination, because he is God. It is his essence and it is his substance. Now what happens when we move into it, there's various fruit that grows out of true love into the life of the believer. And think about this. The only reason God is satisfied, and it says here on your handout that now that God is completely satisfied, I want you to understand that word. He is completely satisfied, not because of us, not because of the church, but because of the sacrifice of his son.
Right.
Jesus Christ, a whole new order of things are possible for those who put their trust totally in him.
That's right.
There's a whole new way for you to do things.
Yes, it is. Yes,
if you trust in him totally.
Trust in Jesus.
See, and so that's what my purpose as your pastor is to focus your mind on what Christ has done for you and the fact that he did it so that you can do things a different way.
Yes.
You can make different choices. You don't have to make the kind of choices you've been making.
Amen.
You can make new choices.
Yeah. Yeah.
And God will support you in whatever these new choices are if you aim your life at Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
And Christ's likeness. And so that's what we're looking at here.
Yeah.
Now I want you to see, and the reason I tuned in on that is Romans 12 verse 9 says, let love, notice it says let love be without hypocrisy.
Amen. Yes.
Hypocrisy is putting on a show. And we got to this just briefly. We talked about it in the midweek service. Faking it, like you said. You know, it's not real. It's I'm putting on a show. This was a word that came from the theater back in the time of Greece when they would put on masks and different things and act like they were something else. You see what I'm saying? So we don't have on a mask. We want to take off all the masks.
That's right.
God knows me exactly like I am. See, I can't hide anything from him. We looked at that this morning in Job. He knows everything about me,
Amen.
And he loves me anyway.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, think about that.
Thank you, Lord.
There's some people that you may know, and maybe not here, maybe somewhere at some other church. There might be some people over there somewhere who say if somebody knew everything about you, they might say, I don't know about you. You know, and we try to keep people from knowing everything about us.
Yes.
We don't want you to know everything. When I tell my testimony, I only tell the part that I think won't be too embarrassing. You know, I don't tell the part that I really know about in those dark, deep closets in the back of my mind. But you know what? God has been all up in your closet. I'm going to just tell you now. He knows everything that's in there. You don't have anything hidden from him. See, nothing at all. Every little thing in your life is exposed to God. And you know what? Even after you hear that, you know, that might make you feel uncomfortable. The truth is, he still loves you.
Still loves you.
See, you know, he did not judge me because of those things. He could have.
Yeah.
He would have been right if he said, look at this one here.
Thank
boom.
Jesus.
You know, he would have been right if he did me that way, but he didn't do that. He didn't do you that way either. You're sitting here this morning. I can see you, so I know you're all
right.
See, so basically, he knows about all that. He knows what kind of stuff's going on right now. He knows what kind of things you're struggling with, and he loves you anyway.
Yeah.
That's the good news about the gospel.
Yes.
He gave his son, Jesus Christ. Now think about this. We say God gave his son, but I want you to see the other side. Jesus gave himself.
Right. That's right.
Amen.
You see it from God's perspective. Yes, here's my son. But look at it from Jesus' perspective. Here I am, Jesus is. And I give myself away for my Father, for his glory, for his praise, and for the people he loves.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
See, I'm going to mediate between all of that that we know about them. We know everything about them, but I know you can't save them unless they have a holy sacrifice. See? And so when he started this 12th chapter, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, in the old King James, he said, by the mercies of God. Think about all that mercy that you and I have received, that you present your bodies, these ones right here, all these bodies here, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Realize that doesn't mean we go around doing anything to hurt ourselves. On the other hand, it means that we devote the purpose of our bodies to the glory of God.
That's right. Amen.
Because of his mercy. The fact that he has had mercy, he has excused me for everything wrong in my life. And so therefore I present my body to you, God, to use however you want. That's why back to the conversation of Jesus with Nicodemus, which is probably one of the most famous conversations in the Bible, in the world. People who don't go to church know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. People know that everywhere. Even though they may not have ever read the Bible, they know John 3:16 most of the time. You see, and people hold it up like at the football and the different places and John 3:16. And so, but have you really applied that to your life?
That's true.
God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son for me.
That's personal.
Have you personalized that?
Yes.
That when I believe in him, I will not perish. I don't have to worry about it.
Yes.
That's because that I will have everlasting life.
Eternal security.
You see, Jesus, when he spoke that, he had been to the cross yet. Have you thought about it?
Yes.
Nicodemus came asking him, good teacher, we know you are a man come from God, because nobody can do the signs that thou doest except God be with him.
Yes.
Jesus looked right into his soul and said, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? You're the teacher. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. There's two different things, flesh and spirit.
Yes.
See, and God sent his son to become flesh.
Yes.
The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he said that verse that's so famous to Nicodemus. Nicodemus probably started to scratch his head. Well, you know he did, because he asked the question, well, how can a man be born when he is old? He's thinking about, boy, my time is winding down. I'm getting old, and you're talking about being born. How can I do that? I can't go back to my mother's womb. He's thinking in the flesh.
Yes.
See,
yes.
But Jesus said, that's when he said, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things?
Yes.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said unto thee, don't let this blow your mind, that you must be born from above. God wants all of us to be born from above. It happens. It's a supernatural transaction.
Yes, it is.
It takes place. Jesus used a metaphor to speak of it. He said, the wind listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but you know don't where it came from, neither do you know where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the spirit. It's mysterious, just like you can't describe why that wind comes from the east and ripples the trees, or it comes from the west. You see it in action, but who knows why it does that?
Yes.
We have meteorologists who think they do. They slap names on, this is the Uri Clyden or the Alberta Clipper, and they give it a bunch of names, but they don't really know. They just check it out. But he says being born again is mysterious like that. It comes into your life, next thing you know, I know I'm saved.
Yeah.
And you have the knowledge of salvation, that God loved me. He gave his son for me. He was crucified for me. He died on the cross,
yes,
got up out of the grave for me.
My Lord.
And so he did that because it's true love. There's nothing hypocritical about what he did. So when we love, he says, let your love be without hypocrisy. Don't put on a show. Don't try to act like there's something going on that isn't.
Right.
Be for real, we would say today. Right. Just
Amen.
Simply put. Abhor that which is evil. There's some things that you know now. God has given you a spirit of discernment.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is there to tell you what's evil.
That's right.
I remember being convicted even before I made a commitment in my mind about sin. I remember some sin that went on. I'm not going to be specific. You don't have to be either. And it was like, boy, that was not right.
Yes.
It hit me in my mind,
yes,
and I felt convicted.
Mm-hmm.
That was not right.
Mm-hmm.
And some just said no, and I didn't feel good. I felt guilty. Have you ever had that kind of thing happen? And you felt guilty, but you didn't understand God is showing you, you have the ability to discern good and evil.
That's right. Amen.
See, that was a lie the devil told Eve. He said, oh, the reason God don't want you to eat that fruit is because you're going to have the knowledge of good and evil. Then you'll know good and evil just like him.
Mm-hmm.
See, and so that was the very first problem that entered into the world through a lie.
Yes, that's right.
You see, but the fact is we do have a sense in our conscience of what's good and what's evil.
Yes.
You know, when you think of certain things, I'm not going to even start up a list here, but I'm sure you have a lot of things in your mind that you go, that was evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you started looking at stuff, folk cutting off people's heads because they don't believe in something or something of that sort. You see it and you just know in your heart of hearts, that's evil.
Mm-hmm.
So it says here, abhor that which is evil. That means I hate that stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you go do anything violent against it. It means you take a stand with God that this thing is not right.
Amen.
See, cling to that which is good. When you see something good, support it. Stand with it.
Yes.
Do it if it's necessary. Whatever it takes, you do the good and abhor that which is evil. See that? Be devoted to one another. See, we are in a family, a body together.
Yes, we are.
All of us who are here. We have been called out together, as we mentioned, to be one body in Christ. Even though we individually present our bodies a living sacrifice,
mm-hmm,
holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. We looked at that earlier in 12.
Mm-hmm.
He says that we are one body in Christ. So there is a fellowship among us,
mm-hmm,
that is very terribly important. So we are to be devoted not only to God, and only to what is good, but also to one another in brotherly love.
That's right.
And give preference one to another. Now, these are the characteristics of how Jesus did. He wasn't thinking about what should I do for me. Mm-hmm. Every time he was here, that whole time he was on earth, he was always thinking about what is the best thing for them, for others. A servant mentality, you see?
Oh, yes.
Always thinking about what's the best thing for these guys. They were arguing about who's going to be the greatest.
That's right.
He was thinking about what will be the best thing for them.
Right.
See, and they were worried about a lot of things. Lord, you're sleeping. You're going to let the storm kill us? You know, get up from there. They woke him up. And they didn't realize this is God in the ship with you. You could blow up the whole world and it wouldn't affect this ship.
That's right.
This is the Lord in here. They didn't have that assurance at that time. So they woke him up. Jesus probably was. I don't know how it was. It doesn't say specifically. But I imagine he raised up and said, "Peace be still." And went on back to sleep. And it's like, what? And they watched as the wind and the waves obeyed him. I don't think it was a big old dramatic thing. He just spoke to the wind and the waves. He rebuked the sea. And it said, "Peace be still." And then it says, they said, "Wow, what manner of man is this?" That blew him away more than the storm.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That he could speak to the wind and the waves and that they would obey him. You see? Yeah. They were more scared then. Boy, we should have let you sleep. The storm was probably more easy to handle. You see? But the fact is, he says, we're in this together.
Yes.
It's brotherly love. That's the word of Philadelphia, if you will. It's a phileo adelphos in the Greek. That means brotherly love. That's what Philadelphia means. The city of brotherly love. Give preference one to another in honor. See, we should always be being respectful. Now, you won't do this unless you are exercising the fruit of love.
All
true
right.
love.
All right.
See,
yeah.
You won't do it. We have a tendency that I'm going to do me.
Yeah.
And you
right.
do you. And I'm going to stay over here and you stay over there. We don't break that barrier of let me see what do you need.
Yes.
Can I get down and settle something that you need? Can I come off my high horse and help you?
Yeah.
Yes.
See, we don't think that way. So this is something you have to exercise. Mentally in your mind, you have to say, I am going to do this. I'm going to set my own self aside and deal with Brother Brown's needs, what he needs at this time. I'm going to sacrifice some of my time for him because he's hurting at this time or whatever the situation is. We have to consciously choose to do that.
Yes, we do.
That's why it says it's exercising the fruit.
Exercise.
We sometimes you have the desire to do it, but you won't do it. That other side of you says, we're going to call him Chucky. Chucky rises up and says, oh no. You know, we get selfish. And we decide we're going to do our thing. And what I got going on is more important. I don't have time for this.
Yes.
And, you know, we make excuses. So we have to learn to exercise. That's why Paul is saying, since God has given you so much mercy, called you together as one group, one body, as you are trying to be holy in your own life, also remember your brothers and sisters to help them as they go along.
Yes.
Look at what they're doing is more important than what you're doing.
Yeah.
And do that in honor. That, in other words, not with a bad attitude, but a good attitude.
Okay.
That's why he says, not lagging behind in diligence. See that? In other words, we don't want to get lazy about it. You ought to be more motivated to come and do the stuff the church needs.
Yeah.
I'm going to be diligent. I'm getting up. I'm going to come in, and you coming in with the right attitude, the right mindset.
Yes.
Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit.
Yes.
You know, where you're actually glad about it. You got a passion for it. I really want to do it.
Yes.
Serving the Lord. See that? Rejoicing in hope.
Yes.
In other words, constantly look for the upside of things. Don't go look for the downside.
All right.
If you look hard enough, you know, you'll always find something bad about things in the world. One guy does an illustration. He takes a white satin sheet. And he opens it up, spreads it out across the front there. And then he took a big ink blotter and he went right to the corner and blotted a big thing of ink. And he held it up and said, "What do you see?" Everybody says, "Oh, I see a big stain on there." You didn't see 98% of the sheet is clean, but there's a spot up here in the corner. And you tune right in on the bad spot. Why do we do that? Why don't we say 98% of it is clean? Or why don't we say it's the beginning of a polka dot sheet? Or give some kind of reason other than seeing the bad spot as something awful. You know, maybe somebody's going to make a leopard skin thing or something. You don't see a good thing. You look and you see a bad thing out of everything. So we have to be careful about how we view things.
Amen.
You want to be not looking for the bad in something. You know, close a deaf ear on something sometimes. Don't criticize and go into that side of it. of it go to the good side.
Amen.
So you have that choice if you exercise the fruit of true love. So this is what he's saying here. Now notice as he goes on, he says, be devoted to prayer. Now you know why? Because some of that, we don't want to do the good side. So when I find out I don't, how am I going to get to where I do?
Amen.
Devoted in prayer. Because it's going to take prayer and fellowship with God.
Yes.
See, our fellowship with God is going to improve our fellowship with one another.
Amen.
If we find out we're lacking in our fellowship with one another,
Amen.
That's something I need to take to the Lord.
Amen.
See, I need to take it to the Lord. Be devoted in prayer. Now, Paul says later on, pray without ceasing to the Thessalonians,
yes.
right? And so prayer has to be a way of life. It can't just be an exercise that I do. You know, the way my life is, I have to pray on the fly all the time because I got so many things going on. I would never pray if I had to stop and go get in a sanctimonious position and get a prayer shawl and put it on and all. I would never pray because I don't have time to do all that. See, you know, so I pray as I go.
Amen.
When I'm on the road, I'm praying.
Amen.
I put on some praise and I go into praise. I get to work. I've even been through all kinds of changes by the time I get there. When I get there, I got to take the Kleenex and dry my face and come back to normal before I can get out of my truck. Because I've even had a praise session on the way in, you know, most of the time. You know, or I'm on the phone talking to somebody about the Lord or something on the way in. So you have to just learn to program yourself to have a mindset of prayer.
Amen.
All the time. In the supermarket. Can you pray in the supermarket? You need to. You know, you can pray wherever you are. And you just have to program yourself to exercise that fruit that God has planted in you. He's given you the seed of righteousness, truth, holiness, all of that is in you. He's invested that in you through His Spirit. And so we have to learn to exercise these things. That's why Paul took time to write this to the Romans. Notice this, he says, contributing to the needs of the saints. You may find people with needs. I think most of us have more than we need. And I speak for myself. The room got quiet on that one. But I speak for myself. So you have to learn to exercise that. That's something you have to pray about. Is there a way you can bless somebody else that has needs? And you look around, you'll always find someone that has needs. And you have to use, of course, common sense and not make sure you're doing everything in the right manner and that people are not trying to trick you and all these kind of things. But you allow the Holy Spirit through that devotion
That's
and
right.
prayer
That's right.
to guide you in what you do.
Amen.
He says, rejoice. Well, let's back up here. This one I really love. Bless those who persecute you. And that right there would be enough. But, you know, sometimes we do it. You bless them, and then in your mind you go, yeah, no good, dog. So he says, and curse not. After. See, I might bless you on the surface, but in my mind I might be thinking, you know. So he says, don't do that. Don't even go on the dark side. Curse not. I used to read that. Why would you put that in both the positive and the negative?
Yes.
Because he knows that backlash of the flesh is going to sometimes rise up.
That's right.
And you might bless them in the presence.
Yes.
Then as soon as you turn the corner, no good.
Yep.
And have that evil thought, you know, that comes in and erases the blessing.
Yes, it does.
You know, so don't even go there. And you're going to really need to pray about that. Because I know I've had to hold my tongue many days. Somebody was wrong, flat out wrong. And they were even trying to expose you and front you off in front of somebody else. And they're really trying to push that button to see, can I get you to show Chucky? Is he going to come out of there? You know. And he doesn't, if you let him show that, that'll just make their day. Because now you done went over the line. Amen. You know, then they'll say, see there, I told you it wasn't nothing but a hypocrite. You know, they want to say that. They're waiting on you to bust out so they can slap that label on you. So you have to really pray on that. If you got somebody pushing those buttons, and you will, if you haven't yet, you will keep living, you know, you're going to have to pray on it, because otherwise that inside flesh is still there. It'll rise up. And so you want to make sure it's put to death. If we are by the Spirit putting putting to death the works of the body, then we shall live, he says in Romans 8. So now notice this, he says, be of the same mind toward one another. In other words, we want to treat each other equally as a part of the body of Christ. Do not be haughty in mind. Don't get lifted up thinking that you're higher than somebody else.
Amen.
But associate with the lowly. There's some people who you might not normally hang out with.
Yeah.
You know, just like we go to the shelters, I'm going to be hanging out with folks who are homeless. You know, and that's what Jesus did all the time. He would go find people that the righteous religious folks said, well, look at her, your master's hanging out with prostitutes and wine bibbers and sinners. You know, what kind of man is he? They looked down and snarled on him. And the fact was, he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, he says, and basically make sure your intentions are right. And if you are associating with people, make sure it's for the right reason. And that you don't get yourself stumped up in some stuff. You know, you got to be aware of what your weaknesses are and your strengths.
Right.
And so he says that associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. In other words, sometimes we think more of ourselves than we should. And so we want to not be wise in our own. Check in with the Lord. Check in with good godly counsel with other people in the church if you need to. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone.
Amen. Say that again.
Yeah, because we have a tendency, you do it to me, I'm going to do it back. And we're going to get you worse. You know, that's the way we used to be. Well, he says, don't do that.
Amen.
Respect what is right in the sight of all men.
Yes.
If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now that says sometimes it'll be impossible. There's somebody who won't let you be at peace.
That's right.
You've done all you can.
That's right.
You've been to the edge of your limits, and they still are going to hold something against you. If you get to that point, you did your best. If you can tell God, I did my best, then that's the best you can do. See, and continue to pray for them and don't have a bitter spirit toward them.
That's right.
You know, so that's why it says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, your end, keep your end straight, no matter what their situation is. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, so that's just the opposite. And we have to learn to exercise these things, and it will be through prayer. Now, I wanted you to see just a quick glimpse here in the Old Testament of how God had blessed Israel, bought them out. They didn't have the benefits that you and I have to be filled and indwelled with the Spirit of God. Israel was gifted by God to be his special or chosen people even before the actual debt for sin was completely satisfied. In other words, before the coming of Christ, and they enjoyed the many blessings of God, but their relationship was nowhere to be compared to the present relationship of the church, because God has now been totally satisfied by the sacrificial love of his own Son, Jesus Christ, who alone makes it possible for us to be indwelt by the Spirit of God and to exercise the same love as an act of our will. That's the difference with you and me.
Amen.
We exercise the love of Christ by an act of our own will. We have to say our will to exercise it, rather than an external observance of the law, which Israel had. So in other words, they would come a little short of God's glory, but you and I don't have to. That's the good news, because the Spirit of God is in you. And if you just listen and obey the Spirit, you can do these things.
Yes, you can.
That's why Paul said in Philippians 4:13, what is it? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. See that? So that's the big difference with new covenant believers and old covenant believers. Now, notice this in Deuteronomy 8. You'll see what I'm saying. Moses is writing now. It's been 40 years. They have been wandering in the wilderness. They should have been 11 days to get where they were going. 40 years have elapsed. Moses was 80 when they started. He's now 120, nearly 120 years old, and he's still laboring with them in the wilderness. And he says, when ye have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. See, it was still a gift. He displaced the people who were in the land, took them out of it, and gave it to them because he loved them. And he had promised their forefathers that he would do that. Beware, he says, that you do not forget the Lord, your God, by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied, see that? When you get full with the blessings of God, he's saying, and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, God blesses you on every side, in other words, then you turn your heart and will and become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness. See that? And with his fiery serpents and scorpions and a thirsty ground where there was no water, and he brought bought you out. In other words, he bought you water out of the rock of flint. He bought you impossible circumstances to take care of your needs. Sent quail. He did all kinds of things. Remember all that? In the wilderness, he says, and in the wilderness he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know. That he might humble you and that he might test you.
Yes.
To do good for you in the end. See, God says, I'm doing all this to humble you and test you. But he still didn't take them over until they were ready. He let them go around and around. See, but he's working with them all that time, showing up in their life, doing everything they need. Otherwise, you might say in your heart, my power and strength and my hand have made me this well. See, we want to take credit for everything God is blessing us with. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that's giving you power to make well.
Yes.
That he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Yes. See, so remember, this is all because of the promises of God. Every blessing that's in your life is because God promised to bless.
That's right.
Now, you know what? Gentiles had that promise because Abraham was a Gentile.
That's right.
And the Jews hadn't even come out of his loins yet when God made the promise.
Amen.
So the promises are also to you and me if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And because the finished work of Jesus Christ, the ones who are covered by his sacrifice, immediately receive the internal ability to choose to serve God by serving others in a way that has never been possible through human achievement.
Yes.
Alone. And that's what I have a problem with, a lot of the kind of things going on today in the world. They're going on in the name of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And they're institutional, but the heart is missing.
Yeah.
That's the whole problem with a whole lot of these things, you know. And you got the government side and saying, well, we're going to call these faith-based organizations.
Yes.
Well, we're talking about Christians. I'm not talking about faith-based.
Amen.
I'm talking about people who love God, who are filled and indwelt by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It's not just faith-based and you spread that all around. That's why you got faith-based stuff going on, and it's not really, the heart of it is missing. The real love is missing.
Based on Jesus.
See, because this is the true love comes from God. We need to exercise the fruit of true love, not sacrificial, superficial is what I really mean to say. Superficial love that comes from man.
Amen.
This is not some kind of a benevolence or something that's coming in. We're talking about exercising the fruit of true love.
Yes.
See, which people know and they can feel. They can feel it from heart to heart, as we say. So as believers in Jesus Christ who are filled with the Holy Spirit, it is to be the aim of our lives as living sacrifices to extend all effort through the power of the Holy Spirit to exercise the fruit of true love, not as a show, but as actual children of the Most High God. You and I who are saved, we are the children of God.
Yes,
if you are saved. And
yes,
if you're not, we want to invite you today.
Amen.
To come. If you have not accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, do it right now. I guarantee you it'll be the very best thing you ever did.
Yes, yes, yes.
It was the very best thing I ever did. And it continues to get better and better and better. Amen. As somebody wrote a song, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Amen. So if you're here and you would like to be a member of the St. Timothy MB Church, we want to invite you to come. At this time, amen, come while the blood is running warm in your veins. As we mentioned, the next event on God's calendar is the return of Christ. Preparation for that is to be in the church. The church is the body of Christ. And he's coming back for a church without a spot or a blemish. The only way that can be is that he has to provide that you and I would be clean and free from sin. Amen. So come right now. If you're here, we have cleared a row here on the front. And if you want to come, come at this time. Amen.
Come to Jesus. Come right now. He is waiting. It is on the open wide.
He is
willing.
Save your soul. Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
Come right now.
Come right now.
Come to Jesus.
Come to Jesus.
Come right now.
Come right now.
He is waiting.
He is waiting.
With his arms open wide.
With his arms open wide.
He is willing.
He
Save your soul. Come to Jesus.
Come right now.